Good, good. Like that? I like that. The ladies do a great job. Getting better all the time, even. And nice and smooth. And that's real good. Now, I appreciate that. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. Now, I want you to take notice, the page on the back of my notes are blank. And the page before that is blank. And the page before that is only about half. You still see what happens. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. It says here, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. In other words, there's nothing that I would do is going to keep me out of heaven. But that doesn't mean it's good for me. That doesn't mean it's good for others. It doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I could do it. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I'm going to let my life fall into that. Number 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, in other words, those things are, you know, we're all worried about these things. So listen, one of these days, when there's a new heaven, new earth, all this stuff has passed away. Sometimes we get all excited and all intent about things, and when it's all said and done, we're in heaven for 30 seconds. It won't matter. Okay? Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. It's about a relationship with God. We don't need to go prostitute ourselves, if you will. Our body is, when we're saved, our body belongs to God. And so, It doesn't belong to somebody else. I have no right to give it away. Listen to it. It says, verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. So he is the ultimate authority over our body. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? When it says members, it basically kind of means just like some people, you know, they say that your fingers, your hands, these are members of your body. They use that term. It's a member. It's part of it. And he said, don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? We belong to Christ. We're to be used by Christ. Not for us to take control and use for as we please. Shall I then take the members of Christ, my body here, and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. All of a sudden now we're hooked up. You realize when you do that, you say you're one flesh. What disease they have, you now have. What germs they have, you now have. Verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? It says again, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? This is the house where the Holy Spirit dwells. He dwells in us, in our body. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body belongs to God. Our spirit belongs to God. Now, I want to just take a few moments here tonight before we spend some time around the communion table. And I want to speak on that topic. You are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. And you are bought with a price. Father, again, thank you for your word. And Lord, give us what we need out of this. It's going to be a blessing. Maybe a lot of folks have thought this. There'll be some folks who never really thought about this way. But Lord, it's all right here. And so Lord, help us to realize what you did when you died on the cross. There's a lot that you did. And you bought us. You paid for us with a price. Lord, help us to realize that we are no longer our own. So speak to us. We give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. We often like to think about how we are bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, and how we belong to the Lord. And now greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. This gives us a sense of security. It gives us peace, knowing we belong to the Lord and no man can pluck us out of his hand. We're bought with a price. I'm bought and paid for. I have a home in heaven. I belong to the Lord. And that's a wonderful thought. But there's the other side of belonging to the Lord. Not only are we safe and secure, but we are also responsible to him. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are closing the deal that was offered to us. The Lord created a deal. He paid for our sins to give us a home in heaven. When we receive Christ, we are now closing that deal and accepting the gift that he's willing to give us. Now, the Lord gives us eternal life, and now we should give our lives back to him. Too many people take their salvation and run. When I was younger, we lived on a house, and in our backyard there were squirrels everywhere. And you just kind of sit on the back porch there, trying to sit out in the trees. You see these squirrels come, you know, and once in a while, this one particular squirrel, if you're out in the backyard, he kind of if you turn your back just a little bit, he would run. Take it. There's oak trees in the backyard. And he'd get that acorn and away he'd go. Take it and run. But he didn't want to stop and have a conversation. He didn't want to just stop and shoot the breeze. He took it and run. And some people do that with their salvation. I got my eternal life. I'm out of here. Now, our position with the Lord, watch, is not as a slave. He doesn't see me as a servant, but he sees me as a child. He calls me friend. Listen, our position with the Lord is not as a slave or servant, but when we receive salvation, we are given a new life. We are born again into the family of God. And thus, we become the child of God. We do have a new authority in our lives. He's our Heavenly Father. And as a child has his Father as his authority in his life, we have the Heavenly Father and his authority in our life. As our Father, the Lord provides and protects us and teaches us and instructs us and raises us as his child, if we are willing to cooperate with him, we're going to have a good time. Sometimes we are obedient children, sometimes we are rebellious children. And as a father, The Lord has to deal with us, with his children, and does so lovingly and for our good. The Lord does not throw his children away if they disobey, but he will chasten them as his own children, which includes us. Now, a loving father will give his life for his children. That father also expects his children to obey him, and again, not as a slave or as a servant, but as a child who needs to be protected from his own foolish desires and lusts. So as we live our lives, we must do so with the constant reminder that we are not our own because we have been bought with a price. Let me give you number one. We are not free to sell our lives to the world. So this is my body. Listen, our bodies are not our own. They belong to the Lord. So we do not have the right to squander our lives away. You know, you see the protest for abortions, claiming it is their bodies. Keep your hands off of it. Well, they're misinformed. I was seeing some of the, because there was a big, you know, we would say protest, a big gathering down there at the Washington Mall this week because in the 50th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And of course they're saying now we've got this going and we got going the right direction, but we've got to work in each of the states individually. And of course they said there was a small group of pro-abortion protesters there as well. And it was interesting, when I saw a woman had a sign. This is not a Christian nation. That's what it said. This is not a Christian nation. Well, remember, being a Christian nation means you follow the things of God. Maybe we started out as a Christian nation, but I'm not sure. I think maybe it's right. But the fact is, they think, well, we just say we're not a Christian nation, thus God doesn't have anything to do with this. No, that's not true either. God chastens whom he loves. Now, we go back to our passage here in verse 12. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, we are not free to sell our lives to the world. The Lord owns our bodies and our spirits. Give you number two. We have no right to share ourselves with the world. You're not free to sell yourself, to prostitute yourself to the world. The fact is, you have no right to share yourselves with the world. We are not our own to fritter away and prostitute ourselves. We are bought with a price. Our bodies, our minds, our spirits all belong to the Lord who bought us. We allow him to buy us off the market of sin, but we are now no longer our own. We were living in death, but now we will not die. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In our passage, verse 15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? It's almost like, don't look at me that way. Don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So what do? Flee fornication. Flee. Get away from selling yourself to the world or even sharing yourself with the world. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. In other words, let your life show who God is. So listen, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have no right. We were bought with a price. Number three. We are not free to serve other masters. We belong to the Lord because we are bought with a price. No matter what your lot in life may be at the time, your master is the Lord. No matter who thinks they're your master or who you think you're going to make them your master is the Lord. If you want to follow along with me, you can keep your place in 1 Corinthians. Go over to Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 26. Luke 14, verse 26. This is what it says. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he doesn't want you to hate your parents and hate your friends and every, you know, your spouse and hate yourself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying in comparatively speaking, you put the Lord first. The Lord's your master. The fact is, the Lord knows who you also love. And you have every right to pray for them and see the Lord do great things in their life as well. Verse 27 goes on and said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, part of bearing the cross is sacrificing. Sometimes it's sacrificing relationships. My most important relationship in my life is my walk with God. Now, if you're married, your second most important relationship is your spouse. If you have children, your third priority is your children. If you have children, it doesn't become God and then the children and then the spouse. A lot of people, even sometimes it's the children and then the spouse and then God. It's God, your spouse, your children. Watch. Then your Christian service. Your personal, intimate relationship with God is more important than anything else. Sometimes your ministry is going to be your spouse and your children. And then you have more time to do some other things than do them. Fine. You realize your job is way down on the bottom. That's just to be able to fund everything else that goes across above it. Now, people sometimes make the life they call it their living. And sometimes that's what they live. They live their job. That's their vocation, is who they are. In fact, some people take this whole thing and they tilt it over this way. They got their job on top. Then they got something out here in Christian service or Lions Club or whatever it is to be somebody in the neighborhood. And then, children come first. Then they put the children. Then they put the spouse. If there's any time left over, they put God in there. But how am I supposed to do all this if my relationship with God isn't right? Because if my relationship with God's not right, then I'm not right. How could I be the spouse that I should be if I'm not full of the Holy Spirit and walking with God and have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness and meekness and faith? That's the kind of person you want to live with. So you want that right, and then you can be a good spouse. Now, if you put your kids in front of that, then fact is, you're putting your kids in a dysfunctional home. Listen, mom and dad have to have the things in place. And they have things in place, and they can be the spouse, and they can be the parent that they need to be. And so we get all things out of whack here. But the fact is, he says, if any man come to me and hate not all those, he says, you need to take up your cross and follow me. There's some sacrifices you need to make. For which of you, watch, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage, and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what's he saying? He said, we've got to put God first. If we think we're going to do any of this right, we've got to put him first. Put him first in our life. Listen, you want to count the cost? How am I going to get this done? I'm going to start by making sure that my relationship with God is where it needs to be. So what does that have to do with this? He said, listen, he says, you're bought with a price. If you will realize that you are not your own, you have loyalties, you have priorities, and that starts with God himself. Then you're counting the cost. You're laying out what you need to get done. You're trying to build a life, but we're building it with hay and stubble. He said, no, we need to build it with the right things, the right tools. We need a solid rock on which to build our house, not on the sand. He's given us a life. We're bought with a price. We are not our own to squander our lives. Serve the Lord and he will take care of you. Matthew 6:24 says this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, that means the things of the world. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than raiment and the body than, more than meat and the body than raiment? So what's he saying here? Listen, a lot of people, whom you give yourself to serve, in Romans, he says, whom you serve with your life is who your master is. So what's he saying? Too many people serve the world, but that world didn't die for your sins. The world didn't buy you. They suckered you in, and you gave yourself to the world. We don't owe the world anything. It has never done anything but to lie and cheat and steal. We're bought with a price by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, by God himself. He's our master. But the fact is, he knows you have need of these things. He said, listen, you can't serve two masters. Well, how am I going to have what I need? He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. For he knows that you have need of these things. The master that bought you with a price is the master that's going to take care of you. I talked about that a little bit this morning. He's going to watch out for you. You're serving him. He's going to take care of you. But see, if you were bought for the price, and you're not paying any attention to the master who bought you, don't expect the master to take care of you. Oh, he might, in his mercy, pull you out of the pit once in a while when it goes by when you're really down and too stupid to get up. Maybe. But you go back down in enough times, he'll just say, well, I guess you just might as well stay there. But he's not willing that any should perish, be stuck down there and die. But that all should come to, I was doing it wrong. You were doing it right. I'm sorry, Lord. You were right. We cannot say that because life has been tough, that the Lord will cut us slack from living for him. I've seen a lot of folks who do that. You know, God knows I've had a hard time. So I just feel, I just don't feel like he expects that out of me. You know, he'll cut me some slack. You know why you're having a hard time? Because you're not living for the master. Most likely, you're on your own. You're left up to the disposal of the world. God's not necessarily stirring it up, but he's overcome the world. But if you're not going to walk around with the overcomer, then you're stuck without overcoming. You're stuck in the defeated side of the categories rather than the victory side. Romans 6:5 says this, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. Jesus is not sin. But if you're serving sin, you're not serving Jesus. If you're serving Jesus, you're not serving sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it, and in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your life, your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's who we're supposed to be. But too often we're bought with a price. We are not our own. And yet we think we go about doing whatever we want, however we want, and what the world says, what the devil says, what our flesh says, and we're wondering why it's just not working right, because we have stolen what belongs to God. You know what you've stolen? Yourself. You've stolen yourself. You are not your own. You belong to the Lord. You are bought with a price. He paid for you with his blood. Remember that. When you get up in the morning, remember that. When you go out through the day and somebody wants you to go down and have a beer with them, you remember you're bought with a price. You can't make that decision. God has already made that decision for you. Don't go. Some girl at work is flirting with you, and she's batting her eyes at you, and she's pouring out her, you're pouring your heart out there, and your wife just doesn't understand, and so there you go, and she does. Fact is, she doesn't. But she'll sit there and listen to it. You pour out all your heartaches on there, and you know what? You have no right to have a conversation to join yourself into a harlot. She has no right to come in there. Listen, you shouldn't be telling her anything you wouldn't tell your own wife. And we have no right to get joined up with her because we are not our own. We are bought with a price. I think we ought to know what God wants us to do with our life. I think it's different things. Sometimes God just wants you to get an honest job and you're going to serve in the church. That's good. Maybe he wants you to give all that up. He wants you to serve him full time. I don't know. But the fact is, we come to God, and young folks here, we got some young folks here. Listen, you got to get decided what you're doing. Some of you haven't got this settled yet. You need to go home and get on your knees. Well, I'm just a kid. He hears you. Samuel was just a kid. Daniel was just a kid. You need to get on your knees and get before God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, you're not saying, give me a list of things and I'll choose. That's not what you're saying. You're bought with a price. You're saying, here's my life. Sign your signature over to him. Now, you don't have to because he already owns it. But from your own heart, sign it over to him. Say, here's my life, Lord. Now, you tell me what you want me to do. And if you don't tell me what you want me to do, then I'm not going to know. What are you supposed to do? Well, the first thing you're supposed to do is do the known will of God. You're bought with a price. There are certain things in the Bible says this is the will of God. I'll give you one. You're about ready to get married. Is a person saved? If they're not, you don't marry them. Well, I don't. That's your. Hey, listen. It's not your body. It's the Lord's body. And He knows better than you do. I can't tell you how many women I have talked to over the years, and he said, I thought he was a good man. I figured I could change him. I figured he'd settle down, you know, stop sowing his wild oats. But here we are. Well, was he going to church before? And she'll come and say, I just can't get him to go to church. Well, was he going to church before you were married? Well, no. Well, you know, I can't get him to stop drinking. Well, was he drinking before you married him? Well, yeah. He spent all our money on drugs and this and all and other things. Just he gets angry, gets mean. It's how long has he been angry and mean like that all the time? Ever since I met him. With an angry man, thou shalt not go lest you learn his ways. God's already made a decision. You're bought with a price. Most of the decisions you need to make in life have already been made. Your job is to obey it. The God who loves you, cares for you, and bought you with his own blood. Now, every time we come to the communion table, I'm on page 5 and I have a half a page on number 6, just so you know. Every time we come to the communion table, the Lord tells us we are to do so in remembrance of Him. Now, He says, this is my body, which was broken for you. Eat. Take it in, digest it. And likewise, the cup. He says, this is the blood of the New Testament. This is my blood which was shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all ye of it. And it all if you do it, do so in remembrance of me. And you know, we do this time after time after time. And we think about the fact that he died and paid for all our sins. And we're free from our sins. Sin has no more claim on us. It does not have power over us unless we give it that power. In remembrance, we see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want something else I want you to remember every time you go to the communion table. Jesus paid a tremendous cost. It was a heavy price. It was a costly price. It was a humiliating price. It was an excruciatingly painful price. But every time we come to the communion table, we should remember that He's paid the price, and now we are not our own. We can't just live as we please. We just can't take our eternal life and run with it. When you receive Christ as Savior, you have closed the deal. You belong to the Lord. Now, he's very nice, and he'll let you go out and do some stupid things. He'll chasten whom he loves as his child. He's not going to stop you making a decision. But the fact is, you still aren't your own. Sure, remember that Jesus died so that we might live. But also remember that presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, is our reasonable service. And we're saying, you're bought with a price. You don't belong to you. And it only makes sense if he went through all the crucifixion to save your life. And we are bought with a price. We are not our own, that we should take what God has and let it be to his disposal. Not to the world's disposal. Not to the devil's disposal. Not to my own fleshly desires. But to the Lord. He makes the decisions. Now you're here tonight. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. You're here. You could be someplace else tonight. The Grammys are on tonight, aren't they? Is that what it's all? The Grammys? You know, all the singers and so forth? Yeah. But you made a decision. God says, I want you in church. Now, if you're like me, it was cold, it was rainy, you walked out, and you went, ew, and you go back in and hibernate. You want to, but that's not what the master said. Well, I don't want to run all the way down there. Now, I understand some people have trouble driving in the rain and the dark. I understand that. And they're watching. They're taking their time. I'm good. It's not as good as being here, but they're doing what they can. Good. Amen. But the decisions in our life have already been made. Listen, wives, you're supposed to reverence your husband.
Well, think about that.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. The master has already made the decision. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church. When she becomes lovable, I will. She's like hugging a porcupine. You would think I was in the freezer. Now, he didn't say that. The master's already made the decision. You love your wives. Well, that'll never work. Whether it works or whether it doesn't, that's not the point. That's what the master said. You follow what I'm saying? He said, study to show thyself approved, a worker that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly divine the word of truth. Know the word of God. That wasn't a multiple choice question. There's no discussion there. That's what the master said. You're going to be faithful to your spouse until death do you part. That's not your decision. God has already made the decision. One who bought you with a price, a heavy price, has already made that decision. I'm going to keep myself only under her so long as we both shall live. That's not a choice. Really? It's a command of God. There's so many things in life that we already have the decision for, and we fret and worry and ulcerate over, trying to figure out what to do. Listen, if it goes against God's word, then it's not God's will. He's already made the decision. You're bought with a price. He says, it's your reasonable service to present your body as a living sacrifice. It only makes sense. The Lord didn't die for you to trick you into becoming his slave. But he did die for you so you could be his child. You're his child. You were brought into this world with the blood of Jesus Christ. Brought into a new life, a new creation, born again. The benefits of being a child far outweighs the rules we have been given to follow and the life that we should live to please our Heavenly Father. Being a child of God is worth it all. I've said this before. I'll say it again in this context. Remember when you were a kid, you just wish you could grow up and get out from underneath mom and dad? You know, just get out of here, do your own thing. I still remember this one teenager we had for a while. She said, man, I'm so tired of adults telling me what to do. I want to get married and have a kid, and I can do whatever I want. Of course, she was 15 at the time. And then we grow up, and we have all these fantasies of what marriage is going to be like, and we say I do at the altar, you know, to 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and all of a sudden, the bill shows up at their door. The electric bill, the gas bill, the water bill, the rent bill, the car bill. Dad used to pay all that stuff. And all of a sudden, it's kind of fun for a while, but after a while you realize you have a negative zero at the end of the month. He said, I kind of liked it when Dad took care of all this. I'm tired. I kind of come home and pay the bills. I'm tired. I'm going to go to my room and just kind of zone out. But the kids, and if I don't take care of the kids, they'll lock me up for not taking care of the kids. What am I going to do? You have a father. You have a heavenly father up above. What a wonderful thing. Many folks don't mind taking eternal life, but they don't want any strings attached. Some folks take eternal life and run off with it to live as they please. Some folks receive the gift of eternal life, and then they use that life that was given to them to honor and please the giver of life. Which are you? Remember, you were bought with a price.